It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back here on the Keystone Kickoff Show, quarter number two. We are in the Labatt Blue studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, Bleed Blue and White, Drink Blue and Light. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle. Continuing talking about Penn State 2020 recruiting. It's really the subject on the Penn State football front. We talked about the two most recent commits, Bryce Mostella and Tyler Warren. Intriguing players, both of them. Earlier in the week, there were a couple other commitments I want to touch on. I also want to circle back to the opening for a little bit, which, Greg, maybe it's just me, maybe it's just us, but the opening used to feel like the biggest deal in the world. And yeah. Now just it was barely on the radar this year.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain. And again, maybe it's just me. I don't know.
No, I don't think it is. I think that when it left Oregon and it moved to Dallas, it kind of, I don't know why, but this was, but it sort of just seemed to lose all the steam that it once had. It used to be on ESPN. I don't believe it's on TV at all anymore. I think maybe Bleacher Report showed some of it on its live streaming service, but I don't know if it was available on cable anywhere. And, you know, I don't have any good reason for why this kind of went by the wayside, because I still think it's interesting to see all these top players get together and we learn a little bit about how guys are in that kind of a competitive environment setting, even though it's not, you know, putting the pads on and getting after it. So, yeah, sort of strange. I think that, you know, that it doesn't quite carry the clout that it once did, but kids are still loving to go to it. And, you know, it's an annual thing on the schedule to watch for every summer.
It's no less of an opportunity for the kids who are there. And I think especially for the kids who get invited, like, that is an accomplishment in itself. You've got to battle at these regional events and that kind of thing to even earn the right to go to Dallas. So the impact of the event on the kids themselves hasn't changed. It just has felt more quiet in the past. And maybe the lack of television coverage, maybe there's just so much noise on the recruiting front. Like, I think year after year, there's just more and more noise on the recruiting front anyway. And the impact of this event on commitments and that kind of stuff, I just don't think it's quite there. Why don't we just start there with the guys who did, show up in Dallas with a Penn State affiliation, looking at the commitments. I'm always intrigued by, the testing numbers that come out of it. Basically, the guys go and they are able to test in whatever categories they want. Some do all of them, some do none of them, some do one or two. There's a whole range of information out there, but I think it's one of the most tangible things that comes out of it. So looking at the Penn State guys, and I know Sean Fitz from 24/7 did this compilation as well. You can also get it from the openings website. Curtis Jacobs, another impressive showing. And Greg, I think just in general, what Curtis Jacobs has managed to do over the past, 4 to 6 weeks at these camps and showcases, I think he's going to be a guy who's on the rise towards the tail end of the cycle, just as all this stuff is put into perspective. So he ranked number four among linebackers. He ran a 4.73 in the 40, a 4.18 shuttle, which shows some of that quickness, a 33.1-inch vertical jump, a pretty good profile across the board from him, which if you watched him in coverage at all, whether it was at Penn State's camp locking down Micah Parsons or intercepting passes in one of these regional events, you know that Curtis Jacobs is a very, very good athlete. And I think this was just icing on the cake. I think he's going to be a guy. He's just outside the top 100 in the 24/7 composite. I think that number's going to change. I think he's going to be in the double digits before the summer's over.
I think so too. He's going to skyrocket. You know, I think the more people see him, the more they're going to be impressed by what he's capable of. And, you know, Dustin, just to go back to the point of the opening as a conversation in general, I think that maybe the recruiting calendar, as it's changed so much about the way we follow recruiting, part of me kind of wonders if this isn't included in that, because before, the opening was really the first chance each summer to get a really good update on a lot of different kids, where they were leaning, where they were heading, what official visits they had set, what schools they were still considering. And now we get all of that stuff before this event, because June has turned into such a busy recruiting month before that summer dead period kicks off. So I think that might play a role in it too, just the fact that a lot of the information we used to wait on at the opening is now out there and kids are committing earlier than ever. And some guys that might wait till the opening to commit in years past are doing so beforehand, and that might take away some of the steam as well.
Olu Fashanu, a 44-foot power ball, which is a measure of strength. Your guys in the trenches are going to fare better in that category than most. A 23.1-inch vertical. Golden Chumba and Enzo Jennings did not test at all. Their prerogative, I don't know. I mean, if you're a little – it's kind of like the NFL Combine. If you're a little dinged up or there can be a variety of reasons you don't want to put that number on the board,
right,
and be compared for it. So that was their situation. Parker Washington, I want to end with him because, you know, he was a commit from earlier last week. Ran a 4.57 in the 40, a 4.13 shot on a 37-inch vertical. So – you're looking at a guy who, you know, he gets dinged on the recruiting front. I believe Rivals has him as a 4-star. He's a 3-star in 247. He's a 3-star in the 247 composite. I think there's a chance he's a little undervalued. And I think these testing numbers for what he is, which is going to, he projects as a slot receiver from the state of Texas. He's been super productive in his high school career. I think these numbers are pretty much exactly what you would hope them for them to be.
Right.
And I think, you know, his frame at 5'10", about 195, isn't really your prototype wide receiver. But if you think about him in only terms of he's a slot receiver, that compact, pretty stout frame with all these testing numbers, I think that's pretty exciting. I think he's gonna be a really good player at Penn State.
Yeah, me too. I think he's a kid that is, as with all these guys, I could see – you know, as we sit here today, there's 20 guys in the class. I could see 12 or 13 of them getting some kind of bump before all is said and done. It might not be 3 to 4, 4 to 5 star, but in terms of actually just moving up, I do think that, you know, if you're a little bit bummed out about the fact that some of these guys aren't rated as highly as maybe some of the commits Penn State's had in the past, just keep in mind that there's a long way to go here. I would expect that once the Rivals 5-star challenge is done, and of course the opening is in the books, once those two events are complete, I would expect to see a lot of rankings movement, and I think we're going to see plenty of Penn State's current class get big bumps. Jacob's probably the biggest one, but I think some of these offensive linemen could get, you know, a nice little rise too.
Well, we are going to be discussing that very idea. Maybe not necessarily star ratings bumps. That's part of the conversation. But I think guys who are just underrated in general, even if that doesn't change from the appearance of recruiting analysts, what Penn State's getting, what, and their chances of being better than they're forecasted to be. So Parker Washington from Texas, not a huge surprise in terms of him making his commitment. Penn State was in the mix and was a leader for a while. But like I said, I think his frame and what he can do after the catch, he's not KJ Hamler. You know, he's not that lightning bolt, lightning in a bottle type player, but he's a guy, if you're familiar with, you know, the NFL, like a guy like Randall Cobb, who's going to make those tough catches across the middle. He's got enough quickness and the wherewithal to make guys miss and pick up extra yards after the catch. That's what you're getting. And I think Deshaun Hamilton is probably a pretty good comp for him too, what he was able to do without what I would call elite physical tools, even during his time at Penn State. They got better as he went along, but Deshaun Hamilton was a 3-star also,
right,
who we weren't thinking about him in terms of a slot receiver when he committed and when he started his career, but his last 2 years, that's the role he played, and now he's in the NFL. He could have a breakout year in the NFL too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, out of the 14 commits since the start of June, I think that's the number at this point. Parker Washington might be the one that interests me the most, just because, again, if you go on social media and just check out what he did at the opening, I mean, some of the catches he made were just ridiculous. And I know they're not in pads. I know it's not a game-like environment, but I think this kid's going to be, you know, a really good player at Penn State. I think that Randall Cobb, Deshaun Hamilton kind of comparisons are interesting and accurate. And Penn State fans, if you haven't checked out his film, go on and look for it on Huddle or, you know, wherever else those types of things pop up these days. I mean, he is a really solid player. There were a lot of schools that wanted him. And the other interesting thing, I think, with, you know, this commitment run Penn State's on, is just some of the other schools they're competing against. You see a lot of Michigan and Ohio State, but there's some Iowa mixed in there. There's some, you know, ACC schools mixed in there. It's interesting time for the Lions because they're not necessarily just competing against Michigan and Ohio State over and over and over and over again.
You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking about the 2020 recruiting class. Never too early to talk about the 2019 season as well. And check out our friends at GoPSURV.com, the ultimate tailgating experience, an entire weekend of tailgating for Penn State football home games, obviously starting August 31st against Idaho. Some big, big opponents on the schedule. Check them all out, and what you can get is such a unique way of taking in a Penn State football weekend. Go to GoPSURV.com to see what they have to offer. Another commitment, Greg Joseph Johnson. I'll call him a three-star because that's what they've got him in the 247 composite. A four-star by 247, the outlet itself, which I'm a big fan of Joseph Johnson's game. He committed on July 2nd over NC State, Texas A&M, and a few others. What you got here is a long cornerback, 6'2", about 175, 180 pounds. He really, you know, his film to me looked a little bit like Amani Oruwariez for that size. And also just the way that he is looking to attack the ball. He's defending opposing wide receivers, but he's genuinely looking to make a play. And I don't know, it might sound like that is obvious or it's something that all high school prospects should be looking to do, but some do it a little bit more naturally, a little bit more instinctively, and a little bit more eagerly than others. And that's where what I saw in Joseph Johnson. I thought instincts were outstanding. I thought he could turn and run. He's got that sort of hip fluidity you're looking for in a cornerback in that long package. First thing you are always kind of curious about when you see a guy of that size is, okay, can he stick a cornerback or is he one that's going to move to safety? I absolutely think he can stick a cornerback. And the idea of having Joseph Johnson come in along with Enzo Jennings, who's an outstanding athlete who's on the long side too, to play cornerback, this could be a sneaky, I'll say sneaky good, but this could be a very, very good cornerback group for them.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think, again, you see some guys that could. That, you know, really is something that, you know, Penn State is really focused on in the secondary and along both sides of the line. So, you know, you get more of that in this class. I think Jair Brown's definitely a safety. Enzo Jennings is definitely a safety. But Johnson looks like a true corner to me and a really good, you know, kid that could be really good at that at some point down the road.
You don't
think
Enzo Jennings is going to can play cornerback?
I think he can. I just think he starts at safety just based on the numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
That the way the depth chart looks, I think it makes sense for him to start at safety. But you know what? If you would have told me a few years ago Garrett Taylor was going to move to safety, I wouldn't have believed you. So, you know, you never know. You got to get these kids on campus sometimes and feel out where they go from there.
So 20 commitments now in all. It's a top 10 class in the country. I can't recall a time like this where they've gotten so much work done in such a short amount of time. So we're going to take a break and come back and just try to put this all into perspective, the class itself and the hot streak and why it's happening, how good this class can be, that kind of thing. We'll be back right after this.
Keystone Kickoff from KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.